Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
For sure.
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 Welcome to another episode of For Sure, a 200 foot podcast. I'm Peter.
I'm the very excited to be here, Jay.
Yeah, absolutely. We are both excited because it is almost playoff time, which means that our favorite team will have a nice long break to get to rest up for next season, since they have a 0% chance of making the playoffs. But we are going to talk about teams that have a greater than 0% chance of making the playoffs, some of them 100%. There's still a battle. There's still a battle going on as we record this, with three teams in the East that are fighting for two spots. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So here, before we take a look at the playoff picture and do our predictions based on how the matchups look today, as we're recording this on Saturday, March 30th, Jay, what are you looking forward to most in the playoffs this year?
Well, I wish this was something that could be continued throughout the entirety of the playoffs, but obviously it's physically impossible because the ability to have almost every game at your disposal, that's what I love the most about playoff hockey, because it, you know, like one game ends and then another starts. It's great. It's like, it's kind of like our own little March Madness in a sense, but I'm looking once again forward to that feeling of being able to have, you know, a couple of playoff matchups to easily satisfy my psychotic and obsessive behavior with the sport. I guess what I'm looking for out of the playoffs is a little more consistency from the standpoint of maybe some officiating and, I don't know, maybe reviews. I'm struggling to remember if last year was like any glaring problem with, either missed calls or bad calls or anything like that. I think for the most part, they're still good. So my recurring thing is I would like the officiating to still remain very up to snuff and not ridiculous. But, you know, it's already going to be ridiculous because, as we know, Pete, the second the regular season ends, the refs put away one rule book and then they go to a secret war room in the heart of Toronto. And just like in the Hunt for Red October, you got to get your first commander's key and then you take your key and then you unlock the window and then boom, there's the special playoff rule book that they get to call the stuff from. So, you know,
yeah, I mean, there's a little known fact that's only known to hockey insiders. And after interviewing a lot of them, you know, we've got a little bit of a peek behind the curtain for some of these rituals that are arcane to the average fan. And most people don't know, but they have to do a special installation into the dressing room for the officials in the playoffs, where it's basically like the equivalent of the old Roman vomitorium, where after each playoff game, they have to vomit up the whistle that they have swallowed so that they have room to swallow the whistle for the next game that they officiate. So now you know.
That's right. Here on the For Sure podcast, come for the Red October references, stay for the vomitoriums.
Yeah. Wondering what that rainbow was flying over your head just now.
Very, very good. Yeah. More you know. You know what I would also like to see, Pete? I know this is selfish, and I'm going to say it anyway. I want someone to bounce Washington in the first round. Just just so we could get this whole stupid narrative of will the returning champs get to win it again. I think the league of parity has completely supplanted any and all sense and wisdom. So I think we're at this point where having a new winner every year is much more preferable to the wrong dynasty taking over. We nipped the bud with we were able to stop Pittsburgh from going three in a row because that would have been insufferable for the next decade. So I would want what I'm looking for out of these playoffs, Peter, is a new champion, preferably somebody who is either a drought or a completely unexpected team to do it. So
yeah,
so that's what I'm looking for now. I mean, I can think of other stuff, but this is a two man show. So what are you looking for from this wonderful playoff season?
Well, I am. There's a couple things I'm looking forward to. I'm looking for the possibility of some very interesting matchups. Unfortunately, probably before they should happen, at least for most of these. So one thing that I think would just be hilarious, we talked about this before, would be the Islanders beating Toronto in a 7-game series. The way that it's shaping up right now, that couldn't happen until the Eastern Conference Final. We'll talk a little bit later, not too much later, about how the playoff picture is currently shaping up, but it looks pretty much like, I mean, the Islanders and Pittsburgh are pretty much locked into that 2-3 battle in the Metro, and Toronto is pretty much locked into the 2-3 battle in the Atlantic. So, like I said, the earliest that could happen would be the Eastern Conference Final. There's no way it could happen earlier unless something crazy happens. I don't even know if that's possible, but that would be obviously pretty interesting. I think playoff hockey at Nassau Coliseum is going to be absolutely incredible. I live close enough that if I can get a ticket without having to sell a major organ, I might make that journey. But I think in the Western Conference, and again, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but San Jose and Vegas, that is going to be one hell of a series. Right now, I think that's either guaranteed or as close to a guarantee as it could be to be a first round series. And that's going to be incredible. Other than that, I am hoping that the announcement from Justin Williams the other day that there will be no, after their game against Washington, there'll be no more storm surges this season, regardless of the result. I'm hoping he left out the word regular season because I'm still holding out hope that we can get a massive storm surge. Now you would imagine that if they won the Stanley Cup, they would kind of just maybe do an impromptu one. I mean, obviously it would have to be at home, but yeah, I mean, I would love to see Carolina.
Quick editor's note. It's no longer the Nassau Coliseum. It's the NYCB Live home of the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. So I just wanted to make sure we have the Nassau Coliseum is dead. The NYCB Live home of the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum lives.
Okay. So, well, I sit corrected. Okay. All right. So without further ado, let's just take a look at this first round. So what we're doing is we are looking at the playoff matchups as they appear today, March 30th on Saturday. Now, we are recording this part of the show before any games start today. So obviously this could look a little different, but what I did is I went to hockeyviz.com to Micah, former and future for sure guest Micah Blake McCurdy. I went to his site because he has probabilities for the first round matchups. And so there's a couple, like basically Carolina, Columbus, and Montreal are all locked in a struggle. Two out of those three teams are going to be in the playoffs and one will not be. And right now it's looking like the one that will not be is Montreal, but that could change even by the time you listen to this. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the matchups, and at least for this round, let's talk, or at least for this time through, we're going to talk about what we think is going to happen.
Oh man.
What?
No, I just, as opposed to our usual setup of what we think is going to happen if both teams are bitten by radioactive spiders. Those are always my favorite.
Yes.
Favorite ways to go about it.
Or if one team is a spider that's bitten by a radioactive pig.
Oh.
Like Spider-Ham in
Ham it up.
Spider-Man.
Irving Spiderman.
What's it called? Oh my God, I can't remember the name. Into the Spider-Verse.
into the Spider-Verse.
Yes, right. That is a fantastic movie.
Yes. Okay, so ground rule set. We will talk about what we think is going to happen. Okay, first, a big shout-out to Micah. Thank you for creating a situation where Pete and I actually have something to talk about. But then even then, like you said, games could happen, and then everything we talk about could be for naught. So I look forward to revising each and every single thing we say today.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the closest ones to being changed are definitely, you know, Columbus and Carolina. Like right now, it's Tampa versus Columbus, Washington versus Carolina. That could easily flip-flop, or Montreal could replace one of those two teams in either location, either against Tampa or against Washington. So that's going to be interesting because, like, especially for Washington, playing either Carolina, Columbus, or Montreal, like, those are three really different teams. And it's going to be interesting. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it works out. So I guess let's start off in the Atlantic. So right now, like I said, Tampa has already won the President's Trophy. I think they won it about 18 episodes ago. They are playing, as of right now, they're playing Columbus in the first round. And Boston would be playing Toronto. Boston would have home ice advantage. All right. So what do you think is going to happen in those two matchups?
How best to describe this? Okay. Starting Tampa Bay and the Blue Jackets, if that is indeed your real name, that matchup, I want you to think for a moment where, you know, it's like Elrond and the kingdoms of man thinking they're beating the orcs. Then all of a sudden, like the clouds gather and like blot out the sun, and then everybody turns around and there's Sauron. That's what that matchup's going to be. It's like Columbus is going to be like, oh yeah, everything's great. Wait, what's behind us? And there's Tampa with the giant hammer axe. Just go whack, whack. So I remember when the Wings played the Blue Jackets, and that was like one of the more competitive sweeps I've ever seen in my life. But so what we could have here is a competitive sweep, but I don't see Columbus being able to withstand anything that Tampa's going to throw and whatnot. So I'm of the mind that first round is going to be that sort. Like if that's the matchup, we already know who's coming out of that one.
Sure.
Boston, Toronto. Oh, geez, Pete. What to want? What to hope for? Because you know, there's that. I just would love for us to have another. It was 4-1 reenactment. It would just be really funny, and just I could just imagine all of the sweet takes to be had from another situation where Toronto could have closed it out, but there's Boston just running around like they do. I think that one is easily at least going six in favor of I think Toronto finally gets the Marchand shaped monkey off their back. I think Boston will put up a valiant fight. I don't know. It's like a trap series, Pete, because like, Toronto's just been struggling. This is the classic scenario where that team flips a switch and then all of a sudden they are locked in. And then Boston will just be like, oh, we weren't ready. So yeah, that's what I think out of those two. What is your gut telling you?
Well, I mean, like you said, the Tampa Bay series, it would be a shock if it's anything other than Tampa Bay in either four or five games. And I think would actually be really interesting is if it works out where Tampa Bay ends up playing Carolina in the first round instead of Columbus. I think that could be a really interesting series.
Ooh.
I would still heavily bet on Tampa Bay winning, but I think Tampa Bay is coming out of that regardless. But then on the other side we have Boston and Toronto, and I think that's probably going to shape up to be the best first round series in my opinion. And I think that's pretty I don't think that's a crazy opinion. you know, I think
noted says noted crazy opinion haver Pete Flynn.
Right. That's... Yeah. You know me. I mean, I'm always shooting off the mouth. But I think that, I mean, I mean, you have to favor Boston, but when Toronto gets going, they can just be so dominant, you know, like you were talking about. So I think I'm still going Boston. I'm still going Boston. I think it's going to be Tampa Bay, Boston.
Okay.
So let's go over to the Metro. So we have Washington versus Carolina and the Islanders versus Pittsburgh. So I'll take this one first. I am going to go with the Islanders over Pittsburgh. Because I think that this is a pretty even matchup. But I think that the Islanders have played very well this year against top teams that have been dominant in the past. Like, they played very well against Toronto. Although I know Toronto hasn't been dominant in the past recently, but you know, they have a stacked forward lineup. And a lot of people expected that the Islanders would not be able to keep up with that. And they did. So I'm going to go with the Islanders over Pittsburgh. I think the deciding factor is going to be home ice advantage, because right now the Islanders have it. And like I said before, the building formerly known as the Nassau Coliseum is, because I'm not going to remember that whole other thing, is an incredible place to watch a hockey game when the crowd is into it. And the playoffs are, you know, that place can get incredibly loud. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Washington versus Carolina, I think that's going to be interesting, because I think that could be one of the big upsets. I do think Carolina has the ability to take that, and I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to predict that Carolina is going to beat the Washington Capitals in the first round.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, what about you?
That is what I'm talking about. I totally agree with you on the Islanders Penguins front. I think the Islanders have tapped into whatever secret scorned by John Tavares energy that I think everybody wanted them to tap into. So I am very happy with the sight of the Islanders shutting the door on giant flailing axe swinging Evgeny Malkin this year. I think that's pretty fun. So I'm very on board for that. Yeah, I think you're right. I think Carolina is going to take advantage of a mostly hungover but still probably functioning Washington Capitals team and kind of shock everybody. Pete, in lieu of a Stanley Cup win, if they can't get there, if they could clap Washington off the ice. I don't know. Maybe there's no reason to play the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah,
beating Washington at home in the first round, clapping off the Stanley Cup champs. I mean, that would just be the greatest troll job in the history of mankind. And then we get to watch Don Cherry just spontaneously combust. When that happens, it's like when Genie got set free, Ron McClane, like his shackles get disappear, and he's like, I'm free, and then he's gonna go travel. Now and then Ron McClane can go travel the world. Yeah. So that's very exciting. So I'm all about that prospect.
Cool. So let's take a look at the West. Or actually, well, do you want to finish off the East, or do you want to do the West first and come back?
Yeah, let's see what's out west. Okay. Why not?
All right. So in the West, going all the way out west in the Pacific, we have Calgary versus Colorado and San Jose versus Vegas. So what are your thoughts on those two matchups?
I really like the Vegas Sharks matchup. I think that one will be a lot of fun because I think the Golden Knights are – is it weird to think of – the Golden Knights is kind of like a hockey Benjamin Button right now. You know, like they're like they have the type of veteran like experience so early in their youth and career, like, and they're just like trying to find their legs still, which is pretty funny. I mean, it's not like they have to try that hard. I mean, they're already going back to the playoffs for the second consecutive year of their existence. So that's pretty cool. But I think, you know, if the Sharks are looking to once again matter, that is Vegas is a tremendous first test for them to go for. So I think that'll be a really fun fun series. And then we all get to cry because we'll probably get to see Gus Nyquist score some goals in the playoffs. Yeah. So that'll be fun. As far as Calgary, Colorado, Calgary, please, for the love of God, just end it. Just end it. I'm all Team Calgary in that matchup because, there's absolutely nothing I would want more than to experience yet another playoff disappointment for the Colorado Avalanche. I don't know if anybody was watching last night, but the Red Wings called up Chris Chelios' son, Jake, and to prepare for that, the pregame show and broadcast had a lot of Chris Chelios retrospectives, and most notably, part of the rehash of his career was the Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals in 2002, where we retired Patrick Waugh for the second time. So, and any and all tributes or impressions of doing that to the Avalanche, I am all on board for. So I think it's going to be Calgary over Colorado. I think Vegas is going to beat San Jose, but that one's going to be – like, it's going to be fun because it's going to – I think that's just a highfalutin – shootout. I don't think those are going to be low scoring games. I think, you know, they're we're looking at like 4-3, 5-4. That's just a lot of firepower there. So that's
also
what do you think?
Also, the I do have to point out that in the game last night, there was a graphic on the screen for Chris Chelios where it said NHL defenseman 1894 to 2010, and like somebody retweeted that and said 116 years of the NHL, he had a good run. So
it's almost like Viggo from Ghostbusters 2. It's just like, wow, like 109, he hung in there. And he didn't die of old age either. It was basically, oh, you got called up by the Atlanta Thrashers. Don't really have it anymore. Time to pack her up.
So. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, I'm always of the opinion that if you're going to make a mistake, you should make it hilarious.
Yeah. His was, that was just, yeah. Aw.
All right. So I'm going to go, again, Calgary is an easy pick here. Although every year there's at least one, or there seems to be at least one big upset in the first round. And I mean, that would be a crazy upset, but it could happen. But I'm going to go Calgary, and I'm going to go San Jose over Vegas. I think some of the magic that Vegas had last year has vanished a little bit, like the career of David Copperfield. And although I think they are still more relevant than he at this point. all right, so then let's move to the Central. So we have Winnipeg versus Dallas, Nashville versus St. Louis. We are setting up again for another second round series between Winnipeg and Nashville, which again is fantastic because that could be a Western Conference final that we get in the second round. Yay, NHL. So this is tough because I don't really see Dallas giving Winnipeg a run for their money. I see Winnipeg winning that relatively easily. The other one I think could be closer. I do think St. Louis has a chance. And since I always want to go with the status quo, I am going to mix it up again. I'm going to pull a George Costanza, do the opposite of what I think. And I am going to go with St. Louis over Nashville in the first round. What about you in the Central?
I just feel like I'm giving them the kiss of death by agreeing, but you know what? McIndoo had a phenomenal tweet last night regarding the St. Louis Blues when they clinched, because I guess the NHL tweeted out this graphic by saying that like St. Louis is one of the few teams who like held like the 31st seed overall. They're like one of the very few teams to hold that anytime after New Year's and then rebound to make the playoffs. And like the way he said it, it's like that's the way he's going to refer to each and every like, oh hey, how's your workout going? He says, I'm going to start using held the number 31 seed in the standings as a euphemism for all the things I'm the absolute
worst. Oh yeah, I saw
at.
That one.
So congrats to Down Goes Round for giving everyone a brand new thing. Hey, how's how's that competitive bicycle riding? Ah, I'm holding down the number 30, the number 31 seat. So I think, Pete, that is one of St. Louis is my team that I want to win it all. And this will obviously be their biggest and most toughest hurdle, because obviously Nashville is nothing to be, what's the word? Oh, relieved about. So, but just there's something happening with St. Louis where, you know, you just got that scrappy energy.
Yeah.
Right. It's time to buy into whatever's happening. They're playing with house money. They think they're probably even not supposed to be in the first place. I think that'd be really funny. I think that'd be really cool. And, you know, it's sad to have PK Subban not in the playoffs for an extended amount of time, but screw it. St. Louis is has been my for the last 2 years, my sleeper. Just, you know what? Because again, Pete, hockey is the one sport where I think they've manifested the axiom of all you have to do is get in and you have a chance. And because St. Louis is in, I automatically am down for them being some world beaters and stuff. So that's fun there. I also completely agree about Winnipeg Dallas. I think that'll be a nice warm up, because as we stipulated in an earlier episode, Pete, the Winnipeg Jets did the strange strategy of telling Patrick Laine not to score a bunch of goals in the regular season. So then when the regular season is done, we will now see Patrick Laine assume his next form. And you know, that it'll be a fun one. But you know, unless for some reason there's, I don't know, horse crap motivation could play a factor in Dallas being maybe a more formidable foe. But I just think Winnipeg is finding their stride at the right time to, you know, hey, we figured some stuff out. We're solid right now. We're not blowing everybody away. So maybe they're not drawing too much attention, which will give them the better advantage. And Pete, think about this. You announced the Western Conference. How fun is it that you didn't have to say the word Chicago in that statement?
It was absolutely fantastic. All right, so we're coming up on a half hour here. So what we're going to do is we're gonna do the rest of it a little bit quicker. So basically, let's just take each of us will say who we think is going to win in the or, you know, play in the Eastern Conference Final and then win that. And then, you know, basically like the rest of the playoffs, you know, what's going to happen there. So sure. I'll go first. I'm going to go with Tampa over Boston in the second round. I'm going to go with Carolina over the Islanders in the second round, although that's going to be a fantastic series if it happens. I'm going to go Tampa in the Eastern Conference Final. Out west, I'll go Calgary over San Jose, and I'll go Winnipeg over St. Louis. And I'm going to go Winnipeg beating Calgary and coming out and playing Tampa and George Costanza in. I'm going to say Winnipeg is your Stanley Cup champion this year.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I really honestly think Tampa was going to win the whole thing. But at the same time,
yeah,
a lot of times the team that wins the regular season, that wins the President's Trophy, doesn't win. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go with Winnipeg over Tampa. And I mean, that would be an incredible Stanley Cup final, regardless of who wins. So.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm putting Tampa in the Eastern Conference Final. I'm going to put is it possible for them to play the Islanders in the Conference Final? Is that a thing that can happen? Okay, so I think your Eastern Conference Final is going to be Tampa and the Isles. I think it's going to be the same. It's going to be Calgary over San Jose, but I'm going to switch it up. It's going to be you know, Winnipeg, St. Louis, with St. Louis winning. So it's going to be a Calgary, St. Louis Western Conference Final, with St. Louis doing the improbable by doing a flying V and scoring a game winning goal with like 10 seconds left. So I think the Cup Final is going to be in the two hottest hockey hotbeds. It's going to be a Tampa, St. Louis final. Tampa's going to win, But, you know, just it's going to continue the great tradition of St. Louis getting to Cup Finals but not winning Cup Finals. Yeah. So, like you said, Pete, it's Saturday. There's still a handful of games that could jockey position, and we could be, you know, we could be talking about a Toronto-Dallas final. Who knows? So there's plenty to look forward to have these final days solidify some things. And then after that, Pete, it's just we have to watch, right? There's only – like, who cares what we think, right? Like, this is just our humble opinions and thoughts. I just want the real-life things to happen so that we can either be right or be incredibly wrong.
Exactly. All right, so – we are going to we're going to stop there, and we are going to play the interview with Scott Cullen for you. So we'll see you on the other side of that. So our guest for this episode is Scott Cullen. He is coming back after 7 months. Was his first time 7 months ago. He came on and we had a fantastic interview, so I'm sure this is going to be just as good. Just to make sure that we don't forget to say this later, you can follow him on Twitter at @ByScottCullen. So, Scott, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are doing fantastic. It's nice
to be here. Quiet. You're quiet as what you are.
Yeah.
We're doing great, Pete. You're under the weather. I'm really excited about those of us who are obsessed with continuity, because right now you sound very different. And we're for those listening, I'm sure they're going to do their Charlie Day impression of drawing the strings. What's the first thing we'd love to ask our good returning host today?
A returning host?
Yeah. I said it because. Oh, well, you know, Scott and I wanted to break it to you kind of slow. So,
man.
I meant our returning champion here, as Pete loves to refer to our guests because that's what we do here. Anybody that comes on is a champion.
Okay. All right, Scott. So since the last time we talked to you, you've changed platforms. You are now writing for The Athletic. You're contributing to The Athletic for analytics, rankings, fantasy advice, etc. So what's it like changing from one publisher to another?
It's definitely a change. When you work at a place as long as I did at TSN, for the better part of 17 years, you get used to kind of the routine at that one place. And now, as I've embarked on, with a freelance writing career at the moment, that the new outlets kind of have different tastes. And so when I write for The Athletic, they're pretty free in terms of, if you want to write 2,000 words, you can write 2,000 words. And it was funny, the first article I wrote for them, I hadn't really written anything, for a month, between the time I left TSN and then started writing for The Athletic. And so I had a lot of words stored up inside.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had like, it was just one, a fantasy hockey article, but I threw about 2,500 words on it. And I apologized as I sent it in. I said, look, guys, sorry. I'm used to churning out, sometimes 10,000 words in a week, that all of a sudden to really have had none go out for a month. I was, kind of bursting at the seams there, but The Athletic has been very good about, if you go long, they're fine with you going long. Like, and the readers seem to, they respond to that too, is that if you really have that a lot of stuff you want to share, that they're good about doing that. And then now I also write for NHL.com. I do the behind the numbers there every week, and it's great and it's interesting, but they also run a much tighter kind of ship editorially. Like they have word counts that they're, it's not strict down to the word, but, they don't go 2,000 words on an article. And so you have to kind of learn how to be economical with your language and kind of say as much as you can in the space you're allotted. And that's new to me, you know, between TSN and The Athletic, those are kind of places that I had kind of free reign to write as long or short as I wanted to. And so it's been kind of a new experience with NHL.com, but and you have to, you know, when you're writing for NHL.com, you have to get used to, I guess, in the way that, you know, you might be able to speculate about things, you know, writing for another outlet, or be as critical as you might be for another outlet, you may not necessarily be for NHL.com. But you know, you go into that, you know, with your eyes open. I don't think you show up at to write articles for NHL.com and expect that you're going to slam NHL teams, you know, left and right about what they're doing, and you know, because they'll get phone calls about it. Like I think that's part of the deal, is that when it's the league site, you know, teams in the league kind of expect a certain way that stories are going to be written, and that's you know, but all these experiences that are kind of new and different for me, and I appreciate it because I'm learning a lot. You know, there's something to be said for you know, changing your path and getting these new experiences, and so. I've appreciated, you know, both The Athletic and NHL.com, and I've seen on my Twitter, I do some writing for a site called MonkeyKnifeFight.com, where I do, it's a site that does sports prop betting. And so, you know, a few times a week I will write articles, and I'll, you know, send out a tweet every day or two, about, you know, maybe make these picks tonight, or you know, some tips on some stats and trends that I've come across. But you know, that's kind of all new and different, and overall, it's been fun. I've enjoyed all of these different experiences.
There's three teams in the East that are, you know, pretty close to each other. I guess Montreal has the hardest road to get into the playoffs, but you have Carolina and Columbus, right? So, just assuming if the playoffs ended the way that they are today, you know, if the playoffs started today, what do you think is going to happen in the playoffs? Like, who do you think is coming out of the East, coming out of the West, et cetera?
I'm interested to see whether a team like Carolina, or, I mean, even Columbus. I think Columbus, you know, it's really strange to me how, you know, they made these additions at the trade deadline and should be much better, but most of these guys aren't contributing a whole lot. At least not up to expectations. So I look at kind of the talent on Columbus, and I think, you know, they're better than a team that could end up being, you know, the second wild card team in the East. And so, you know, if you're one of the teams that wins your division and you end up with Columbus in the first round, I don't think that's going to be an easy touch. And, you know, again, this is a team that doesn't have a ton of playoff experience, or at least not success. But I think talent-wise, that they had the Capitals on the ropes last year. You know, in Game Three, they were up 2-0, and into overtime in Game Three, like, you know, one bounce, and you know, our whole memory of the 2019 playoff or 2018 playoffs goes completely differently. So, I think you know, that's sort of what I'm looking at it at the Eastern Conference playoffs, is that these teams that maybe aren't at the top of the standings, they might be able to make some noise. But as I say this, you know, I think everybody's kind of chasing Tampa Bay.
So, Scotty, if you dealing with the unholy meat grinder that is Tampa, it's like you said, it is what it is with the Eastern Conference. It's pretty much just like, you know, like if I'm writing the Hockey Night intro right now, for like the start of the playoffs, it's like in one conference you have absolutely no idea who's going to come out of it, and then in the other conference it's been decided for the last 3 months. So, yeah. Shifting over to the West Conference, I'm encouraged by the fact that we get to say the Western Conference and talk about the Western Conference, and that the words Chicago Blackhawks aren't obligatory things to say during that conversation. So it's kind of a new world among us right now. So with the perennial outdoor game that's so deserved team no longer playing, you know, is like like, is I guess my hope out of the Western Conference is just is all eight teams just being completely magical and not exactly, you know, it's basically whoever comes out of there, you know, it's going to be, you know, rub your monkey paws, light your candles, pray to whichever god you worship, and just maybe you can get at least six games against Tampa. But, you know, what are you seeing out of the Western Conference? And, you know, has anything surprised you from that side of the league? And you know, obviously with your knife fight stuff, I mean, there's obviously a plethora of things to prop bet on out there.
Yeah, well, you know, the Western Conference, you know, I mean, for years and years, the Western Conference has been the, I guess, the more powerful side of the league. And I think, you know, the balance has probably shifted now. And so when you look at, you know, the top teams in the West, I don't have the, you know, the feeling of dominance right now that I did, say, when you look at Tampa Bay or even, say, Boston when they're going really well. You know, there have been kind of more ups and downs. And, I mean, look, in some cases it could just be injuries. Like the Winnipeg Jets, I think, you know, are still a very good team. But, you know, if Josh Morrissey doesn't make it back, and I know Dustin Byfuglien's just getting back into the lineup, like, you know, when you start missing, you know, significant defensemen, I mean, there are some teams who kind of, they make it through those stretches when you're missing a couple of top four defensemen. But I think, you know, it's been a battle for Winnipeg, and it's been a battle for Toronto, missing a couple of their top defensemen. And, you know, there are some teams that are kind of, I guess, better equipped to handle that. And so, you know, I think Winnipeg can be a good team, but I'm, you know, I think it depends on health. I guess if I'm, you know, if I'm looking at the West, the team that I seem to like the best as we speak today, I think, is Nashville. And I know they haven't, you know, been consistently great all year. I think, you know, Kyle Turris hasn't had a great year for them. Even PK Subban, I don't think, has had a great year for them. But, you know, there are enough guys who are having good years for them that if, you know, PK Subban kind of returns to form for the playoffs, or Kyle Turris returns to form for the playoffs, well, then, you know, then you might really have something, and that could be enough to get out of the Western Conference. And so I look at Nashville, and I think that they're really good. St. Louis, I mean, they're riding, you know, kind of a miracle goaltender, and not that they don't have a solid team. Like, if you look back, say, at the year that Andrew Hammond carried the Ottawa Senators to the playoffs.
The burglar.
And in such an unexpected way. But, like, Ottawa, you know, they were getting outshot by a bunch, but Hammond was just kind of playing out of his mind. And but, like, St. Louis isn't to that degree, you know. Like, they kind of, they're middle of the road in terms of shots and scoring chances and so on. But they've got, you know, Jordan Binnington comes in and is you know, stopping 93% of the shots. And, you know, when you have a goalie stopping 93% of the shots, the game is a whole lot different. And so, you know, can you count on that continuing if you're the Blues? I mean, it's certainly not impossible. You know, we've had all kinds of you know, goalies without a huge track record who can go on a good playoff run. But it's also the kind, you know, when it feels like you're walking on a high wire when you're riding those kind of percentages, right? That the moment, you know, it wouldn't take much for it to kind of fall off, and all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden they're not getting this goaltending that gives them a huge advantage, and maybe they're easier to knock out at that point. But, I mean, and so that's kind of what I look at in the Central. But if you flip over to the Pacific Division, I think the goaltending is a massive question over there. Like, Calgary leads the Pacific Division, but I don't know that, you know, you look at David Riddick or Mike Smith and think, oh, yeah, those guys definitely can do the job. I mean, I think Riddick, you know, has been the better of the two, but doesn't have a huge track record, and certainly none in the playoffs for you to be confident that he can lead them. And then San Jose, who has this really strong team, has been getting abysmal goaltending. And, you know, we're sort of at this stage that, you know, I mean, they're going to start Martin Jones, I presume, but I think he's going to be on a super short leash. Yeah. And even if, like, and so, okay, they go from Martin Jones to Aaron Dell. Well, I don't think, you know, Dell has had such a season that you would go, well, then they've got it solved by going to Aaron Dell. And so, I you know, that goaltending could undermine the whole thing for the Sharks. And, you know, I mean, if we kind of presume that, you know, that they get healthy, you know, like if Erik Karlsson makes it back for the playoffs, and, you know, that might be a little optimistic given how many games he's missed, but he claimed he will be ready for the playoffs. And I know Pavelski's been hurt lately, but, you know, if you look at the Sharks at full strength, like that's a powerhouse team, but it's a powerhouse team that is kind of, you know, dealing with goaltenders who stop, you know, under 90% of the shots. And that's the kind of thing that can cost you. And so like Vegas, who has, you know, been playing better lately, you know, their advantage could be goaltending if Marc-Andre Fleury is healthy. Because and this is, you know, I've said this a few times over the past few weeks, and it sounds, you know, so strange to talk about, well, Marc-Andre Fleury could be the advantage for a team in the playoffs, because for years in Pittsburgh, he was, you know, he was costing the Penguins in the postseason. But I think, you know, given how well Fleury played for the Golden Knights last year, he might give them the advantage to get out of the Pacific. But you know, so as you go through the list of these kind of top teams in the West, none of them stand out as, oh, they're absolutely the favorite in the same way that Tampa Bay is in the East. And so I just don't think there's a real surprise if any of those teams, if kind of things broke right for them, that they could come out of the West.
Yeah, I mean, San Jose kind of has a similar thing to Washington with their goaltending last year, except both mm-hmm. goaltender positions are worse than Washington. You know, mm-hmm. you know, yep. Jones is definitely worse than Holtby, and Dell is probably definitely worse than Grubauer. So, but yeah, so I wanted to change gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you kind of like more like a fun question. So, I'm guessing you saw this on Twitter March Madness going on, college basketball, and so as a result of that, everybody loves doing brackets, and a whole bunch of brackets sprung up, and one of the more interesting ones was the first annual, because people asked for a worst hockey media bracket 2019. And I just, so now obviously I'm not going to ask you to, you know, talk about the people on this list, but I just thought I was looking for your name just because you're pretty well-known hockey writer.
I was really disappointed that I didn't make the
because that was going to be my question. Like, are you glad that, like, I mean, no. For example, number 16 in the first round going up against Don Cherry was Jeff Merrick. And I was like, like, if anybody votes for Jeff Merrick, they're a cop. Like who doesn't like Jeff Merrick? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these ones I just thought, I was like, come on. but no, like, so you look at that and you're like, come on. Like, somebody has to hate me. Somebody has to think I'm bad at what I do or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt that if I was on there would be some people who would vote for me. Like, I get a certain segment of hockey fans. Well, I mean, look, it's a certain segment of hockey fans who don't like using analytics. I've been at this for a long enough period of time that, you know, I'll get somebody who complains about, you know, I wrote an article called Statistically Speaking. I mean, it's going to have numbers, believe it. But I'll get people who, you know, who want to tell me that hockey isn't all about the numbers, et cetera, et cetera. And I get it. It is not all about the numbers, but, you know, if that's what my focus is and that's what I'm writing about, don't expect me to change, kind of that aspect of what I'm writing. And so there'll be fans who don't necessarily like that, that part of it. But, I got a kick actually of that bracket. I saw it pretty early that first night that it got posted on Twitter, and so that's I think it's a great idea. It's fun.
I always when that bracket popped up, I was like, can you imagine if there was a parallel dimension where that bracket had the marketing push that the NHL brackets actually bracket challenge, you know, like, hey, there's a commercial break between, you know, between NCIS or like even SNL, right? Which is like, all right, the list is out. It's like these like caricatures of everybody just like going in and like, go to NHL.com/media throwdown. for your share of $16,000.
Yeah, and to hear the the blurb that they give for each one about why they might be the worst hockey writer.
Oh lordy!
He made up a story about hot dogs and Phil Kessel.
Oh man!
I think he's still in it.
I would imagine. I don't recall the seating exactly, but I have to assume he's the top seed.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Scott, I wanted to ask you about just your overall thoughts on where, like, I know this is like a touchy subject for everybody, but we've seen the and again, feel free to go minimal on this. It's whatever, because it's always such a weird subject anyway. But like, there's some curious decisions coming out of the Department of Player Safety, and Pete and I were kind of remarking that it's like, wow, it's almost like if you have Goon in charge of the Department of Player Safety, this is what you get. So, is there like, from what you've seen, how it's I don't know if it's affecting the game like bigly, but the weird thing is, out of all of this crap, someone writes this really big, like puff piece for Tom Wizard. Like, oh look, he hasn't injured a player in 20 games. Paragon of humanity, right? So, yeah. is this something to keep an eye on still? If there, if there was like one position in the NHL machine that maybe is looking like change is coming, you'd have to think it's this, right? Or is this kind of a, hey, they're still trying to figure it out?
I mean, I would say anytime you're writing an article about, this player hasn't hurt a player in, 20 games, like that's due to age badly, because, and whether it's Tom Wilson or Radko Gudas or, pick your guy who lives on the edge. A 20 game sample is not, enough reason to be, keeping praise on a player for, for not taking out someone's brain. And so I look at, I know why they have a guy like George Ferris. I mean, like guys like Chris Pronger and Stefan Quintal have, have done this job, and they're guys who, have racked up plenty of penalty minutes in their careers. But I wonder if the position would be different if you put Mark Savard there, and not that I'm lobbying for Mark Savard to have the job, but pick a guy like that, somebody who has had their career cut short by a headshot, and see what they have to say when it comes time to, and even if they're not the one person who makes the decision, but what give them a voice in what kind of punishment should go to the Tom Wilsons of the world, and see what happens. Like I know that there's they've got competing priorities when they might want to suspend guys 10 and 12 games at a time, but they get pushback from the owners, and so then they have to work it back the other way. But I think if they're really concerned about player safety, having somebody who has been a victim rather than a perpetrator might help in terms of sentencing. That's my, from a distance view on it, is that, when you keep getting the guys like Quintal and Pronger and Perros, well, these are the guys who have been, breaking the rules more often than not. And, like Perros, I don't think anyone looks at George Perros' career and thinks, wow, that guy was, a really dirty player. Because he seemed like an upstanding guy for what he was, he was a fighter. I don't have any, long lasting memories of him doing stuff that was terribly egregious. No one was, taking headshots at 6'6" George Perros. That wasn't really something he had to worry himself about. Look, Pronger is the same. He still ended up with a concussion. I consider Pronger as much perpetrator as victim. If you go over the length of his career, he played hard, and certainly crossed the line a few times. And so I think it would be interesting if they ever got to that point. But I kind of feel like the league has, they don't necessarily have an appetite to, to start giving out harsh suspensions. It's like at the moment they do it, they end up with pushback from other entities in the league, and that always seems to win out.
Yeah, because I mean, we talked to two episodes ago. We talked to Daniel Carcillo, and there's a player who obviously caused a lot of injuries in his career, but he has obviously had a complete change of heart and change of mindset about it. So, it's not that players like that can't do a good job in that position. It's just when we see decisions that don't seem to be the way that we think they should go, it's kind of an easy thing to look at. So, it almost seems like it's more of like a PR problem for the NHL. Like, why don't they, I don't know. It just kind of looks bad, even if it would have been the same decision with another person in charge, I guess.
Yep.
But all right. So we're going to wrap up in a second. I'm just going to ask one more question to finish up. So I remembered getting ready for the interview. I remember that you had a website that you write on. I guess I should say at this point, based on the number of posts recently, periodically. Yeah. Right. But the last one that you wrote was about your favorite reads of 2018.
Oh yeah.
And I was going through because I'm always interested to see what people are reading. And there's a really great article that you listed about an oral history of Rounders, which is one of my favorite movies. And it was nice to see it get some love.
Pay
on there.
Him.
So
pay
yeah.
him.
Pay him his money. Right. Yes.
Now that I'm going to have to listen to JV with his Malkovich impression for like the next 4 weeks. He's just going to leave me voicemails.
I'm just going to Amazon Prime you payload, like full pallets of Oreos. That's the only impression you'll get consistently after this recording. Beautiful. Okay. Thank you.
So anyway, obviously the people we have on the show, we have them on because they have a connection to hockey, obviously, in some way. But I'm always interested in outside things, too. So if for some reason we were in, as Jay likes to say periodically, a parallel universe, an alternate dimension, if you will, where maybe hockey didn't exist or you didn't write about hockey, etc., what do you think you would be asked to be? What kind of topic would you be asked to be a podcast guest about?
That's a good question. Because I'm not that interesting outside hockey. No. I guess here's what I would say is that if hockey wasn't a thing for me, all of the time that I've devoted into hockey would get devoted into something else, and it could be movies. Like I love movies and what would I be a podcast guest about other than hockey? Nothing. Being a parent, maybe. I don't know. That's those are the things that kind of take up my time. But if hockey for whatever reason wasn't a thing for me, like I've always liked the idea of writing for movies, or I guess in the modern world, whether you could write a Netflix TV series or something like that. Like I turned my attention to something like that. And I know that, as I'm saying this, that, I'm miles away from ever doing something like that because, the writing I do for hockey is not nearly as creative as, what is required to do that kind of writing, but we're talking about a parallel universe where I'm not writing about hockey, and if I put in years and years writing creatively, I'd be interested to do that. Like the funny thing is when I first came out of university and really couldn't get a sports writing job because my economics degree didn't exactly have newspapers all excited about my writing prospects, I worked in kind of finance roles for movie companies here in Canada. And Cineplex, which is a big film distributor up here, Lionsgate Films, which, you know, produces a bunch of things, and then Alliance Atlantis Film, which is another Canadian company. But like, so when I, you know, I worked for these companies in finance, and, you know, you're kind of tangentially related to the entertainment industry at that point. You know, you're seeing kind of expenses for, you know, this movie project that you've actually heard of, and you know, you've sent checks to, you know, people who are showing up in the Academy Awards and things like that. So, you know, there was enough kind of early on that I'm interested in the movie industry, but, you know, I'm not as interested as I am in hockey. And so hockey won out, and I'm, you know, I'm not complaining about it, but that would probably be where I would kind of turn my interest is to movies or entertainment in some way.
Well, lucky for you, Scott, Peter and I get into philosophical film discussions all the freaking time. So if there was ever a time we were going to workshop this parallel universe, we could probably make that happen here.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, again, I'm really glad you, again, Cineplex, that's like, gosh, it's a name I hadn't heard in like a long time. So now my head's buzzing. So I appreciate the prompt to further think of the, the logo is burned into my brain right now. So when you said Cineplex, I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what it looked like. Holy crap. Well, we've once again reached the end of one of our fine little chats here. I did want to ask one tiny question. Which exotic locale can we expect you to wear our fine apparel next?
Yeah, that's, you know, it was funny when my family went on vacation. We left on trade deadline day on the 25th, and so I'm on the plane, and I've got Wi-Fi, and I'm still kind of keeping track of all the moves as they're happening. But yes, you know, one of the T-shirts I threw in my bag was was for your podcast, and so then I thought, all right, well, I'm gonna get a shot of you know, at the beach with my shirt on, and so yeah, we were in you know, Puerto Vallarta in Mexico, and it was awesome. It was, you know, because in Toronto at that time it was just freezing, and there were like two snowstorms that week, and it was you know, I'm gonna have to do calculations for you for Fahrenheit. I guess it was probably about 80 to 85.
Oh yeah.
Every day and sunny, and it was definitely a fun trek, and I had a bit of a laugh when I pulled out that shirt and thought, all right, I'm gonna throw this up on Twitter, and thought you guys might appreciate it.
Oh yeah,
greatly appreciate it.
We are forever grateful that now we can actually say, Pete, with certainty, we are worldwide. So that's,
yeah, that's right. Big... Well, you can say you made it over the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh. And with that trite little political jab, we have to wrap up our fun little interview here. Pete, would you like to remind our listeners once again where you can find the majesty and wonder that is Mr. Scott Cohen?
Yeah, so like we said before, obviously you can read his writing at The Athletic, and on Twitter he is at by Scott Cullen.
Oh, Scotty, we both get to say it. No, it's sorry, the same at the same go. Time. We're now speaking as
thank
one.
You.
Scotty, thank you so much for coming out, and you know, we'll be looking forward to the next time. Which, okay, so setting the clock 7 months from now, we look forward to you accepting Best Picture Oscar for the Life and Time.
Yeah. Looking forward to that too. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
All right. So thanks again to Scott Cullen for that incredible interview. Second time on the show. We'll see when he breaks into the three-time club. I'm still probably for long. Yeah.
We're getting the jackets made up as we speak. It's going to be a lot of fun to pass those out. And I really hope you guys like the sheer members only jackets made popular in the '80s. I'm very excited about that.
For our last segment of today, we are going to talk about an idea that's been floating around online. it's not really a new idea. It's been done in some other leagues, and it's been proposed, or I don't know about seriously proposed, but it's been talked about in the NHL for some time as a way to fix the playoff structure. So basically what it would be is that the top seeds, so for example, like the top three seeds in each conference would be able to pick their opponent from the bottom four, because obviously the fourth seed would just get whoever's left over. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look. Jay, do you have a preference for which conference you're going to pick?
I would like to take the East if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah. So Jay will take the East. I'm going to take the West. And what we'll do is we would kind of run down through how we think that this would look. You know, if we were Tampa Bay and we had the first choice, which of the four teams would we take, et cetera. So we'll just run down how we think that would work, and what matchups that would make, and if that would seem to be a better way to do it than having Boston and Toronto, two of the top probably five teams in the NHL, play in the first round. So, all right, Jay. So here's the rundown. So basically, you're going to have, if we're going by points. Now, obviously, you could say that the division winner. Well, you know what? Just because even if they did do something like this, they probably wouldn't take away the ability of the division winner to technically be the second seed. So what we'll do is we'll do Tampa first, Washington second, even though right now Boston has more points, but we'll do Tampa, Washington, then Boston, and then the leftover team would be, as of right now, I guess it would actually be the Toronto Maple Leafs, because they are tied with the Islanders for points right now, but they have more regulation or overtime wins.
Those sweet, sweet ROWs.
Exactly. So just
injected into my veins, those ROWs.
So, Jay, since Tampa Bay is a top seed in the East, they would get the first choice under this format. So what do you think they would do? Who do you think that they would pick in the first round?
I don't. When it comes to Tampa, I don't think it matters who they chose. In terms of competitiveness, I would think that maybe they choose someone that is geographically so simple so as to make this first round course, this appetizer, this hors d'oeuvre, as it were, series to be as quick and painless as possible. So I think Tampa picks Carolina, a very geographically close place so that you're not traveling too much. It's free and easy. It would be really funny because I always like pairing like things, you know, because, you know, like how Doc Emrick likes to pair things, two like things. So let's assume for a moment that, like, you know, like the, what's a good example? Oh, okay. So let's say the Coyotes versus the Predators, right? It's like Predators, Coyotes, animals, right? So yeah. Like this, I like Lightning. Hurricanes, like they both can happen at the same time in real life. So I, yeah, like, I like
very, very frightening.
Yeah. So, So I think Tampa takes the path of least resistance, but that's funny too, because like I said, the hockey's all about the second you get in, you're suddenly imbued with special superhero hockey powers that allow you to give teams a scare to their soul. So, So Tampa takes Carolina. So next up is Washington, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So if I'm Washington, I want to win the Stanley Cup. So because Carolina's already off the board, I think, Washington takes Columbus, taking advantage of their really, really weird everything that's happened to them because they loaded up and if the Columbus Blue Jackets won a playoff series, I think they instantly become scary. I just think they're just so discombobulated right now. It's just really tough to gauge them. Yeah. So if Washington wants to stifle any and all creative outbursts from Columbus, they'll want to take advantage of them being out of sorts right now. So I think Washington picks Columbus, and Pete, given the way that the picks have gone just now, that literally means everything else is set because Boston can't pick Toronto at the start there. So your remaining matchups are going to be Boston Islanders, and then Toronto will play the Penguins. So I'm thinking that that would be pretty fun. You have, I think a Leafs-Penguins matchup would actually be a lot of fun. It's just like kind of a warm-up, like, hey, kids in the backyard type thing. So, So if I'm the Eastern Conference and I somehow was given the chance to pick like that, that's the way I think that could be picked out. Now, if we're talking, Pete, like, let's say this actually gets adopted, how this is actually presented, you know, is it like a, you know, hey, like the GMs or the coaches are in like a secret room and they get called out and they're like, today, the Tampa Bay Lightning select Carolina as our first opponent. And everybody claps and like Carolina's in the audience and they stand up and everybody's congratulating them. Like, congratulations, you're going to your doom. Congratulations, you're going to your doom. So
that would be Tampa versus Carolina. That would be Washington versus Columbus, Boston versus the Islanders, and Toronto versus Pittsburgh. So if the seeds held, we would get a second round with Tampa Bay and Toronto, and a second round of Washington versus Boston. That would be pretty fun. Not a huge change. Basically, the top two teams would just flip who they're playing. But that could actually end up happening. The biggest change would be the bottom. Instead of Boston, Toronto, you get Boston, New York, and then Toronto versus Pittsburgh. So Toronto could still play Boston, but it would actually be in the Eastern Conference Finals, which would be interesting. All right. So going out west, we have, if we're doing it the same way, we would have Calgary would pick first. Winnipeg would pick second. As of right now, they are the leader in the Central. Obviously, that could change. Nashville has 94 points as well. Winnipeg has a game in hand on Nashville as we record. So we're just going to assume for right now that Winnipeg is second. San Jose would be third because they have one more point than Nashville. And Nashville would be fourth. All right. So let's see. So my choices for Calgary would be St. Louis, Vegas, Dallas, or Colorado. I think if I am Calgary, I pick Dallas because I think that Colorado has a better chance of getting hot in the playoffs than Dallas does. So I'm gonna go with Calgary would pick Dallas, and then Winnipeg out of the remaining teams would, I'm gonna say, take Colorado. So San Jose has to pick. So San Jose has to pick basically for themselves and for Nashville. So they could either pick St. Louis or they could pick Vegas. And the Vegas matchup is the one that they have right now. That's a tough one because St. Louis is obviously on a huge roll right now. They've actually lost their last game, but the last segment of games for them has been very productive in terms of gaining points in the standings. I'm going to still say San Jose picks Vegas because I think they might be afraid of that St. Louis potential streakiness entering the playoffs, getting hot at the right time. So that would mean Nashville would play St. Louis in the first round. And then you would have, assuming the seeds held, you would have Calgary versus Nashville, and you would have Winnipeg versus San Jose in the second round. And again, you could get a Winnipeg-Nashville Western Conference final, which is when that matchup should happen, I think. So I think that would be pretty interesting. I think that would be a step up from what they're doing this year. Maybe it's not perfect, but I do think that would be a pretty interesting interesting wrinkle they could do, a pretty interesting change to the format.
Yeah, if at the end of the day the tweak to the playoff formats is supposed to yield that the later rounds are far more attractive to watch, I'm absolutely all for it. I think that there's this been this like reverse stacking of like, wow, those like this first round of stuff, and then like, you know, the semi and conference finals are just kind of these like really random, just like formalities just to get to a cup final that we may or may not necessarily want to be excited about. So like if it was actually able to be a ramp up, just a general, you know, arc upwards towards, you know, hey, the better matchups could actually happen right around when the cup is being played, then I think that just rewards everybody more. So I don't know if this is the system that I want to have be the spectacle to fix the problems that the playoffs are currently suffering from, but maybe I do want it under the stipulation that I get to choose the on-air spectacle of how these picks are made, because I think that's because, Pete, I think we're all just chasing for a moment, that beautiful look on Alexander Ovechkin's face when he was smiling and Phil Kessel got picked last. So those are my thoughts on this system. I don't know what yours are, but go ahead.
Well, I think as you were talking, I think I did come up with a good way to have this happen. And I think it would be that basically once the final game is played, that because you know, that would be the big thing, is because once the final game is played, usually there's not that much time between that and the start of the first round. So you'd have to basically do this almost immediately. Because I mean, like, you would have to wait until you knew the exact order the teams would be in, and that could not happen until the last game of the regular season in some cases. So I think that they would have the day after the season is over, they would have some type of like a 30-minute show or whatever. Although my idea would not fill 30 minutes, but the NHL has no problem doing that, making things take much longer than they should be. So I think what they're going to do is, I think what they should do is they should have captains, or at least a representative from all the other teams, from all the teams that could possibly be picked. And the representative from the top team. So say, for example, it could be somebody from Tampa Bay, maybe like a team pick celebrity that represents Tampa Bay or something like that. Although the NHL will probably never do that. They go with the most boring person possible. But
yes, they're actually obligated to go with the most boring person.
Let's just dare to dream. And so what they would do is the method by which they would announce their selection is that they would go over and whisper in Gritty's ear, and then Gritty would go tackle the other team's representative. And that would be how you would know who was going to play who.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
I think that would be fun.
Signed, sealed, delivered. Done.
Woo. speaking of done, we are done with another episode.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
If you want to follow us on social media, here's how to do that. You can follow me on Twitter at PFlynnHockey. You can follow Jay at TheRoar_24. You can follow our podcast at For Sure Pod, FerSurePod. And you can follow us on Facebook if you go to facebook.com/FerSurePod, same spelling as the other one. If you want to get merchandise, if you want to get t-shirts, for example, the For Sure t-shirt that Scott Cullen is wearing in the picture that we use for the mailbag episode, you can get that at tinyurl.com/fershirt, FerSHirt. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back in 2 more weeks.
Copy that. We'll see you all kids out there.
For sure.
For sure,
for sure.
For sure.
For sure,
for sure.
For sure.
For sure,
sure,
for sure.
For sure.
For sure,
sure,
for sure.
For sure.
For sure,
sure,
for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.